Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Ukraine's government announced today that its forces have taken back two more cities from pro-Russian rebels. And the government is hoping that a third city, Donetsk, could be the next to fall back under Ukrainian control. Donetsk is where pro-Russian rebels have been regrouping since Ukraine's new president, Petro Poroshenko, announced the end of a unilateral ceasefire and sent troops to fight the rebels. Analysts say that the pro-Russian insurgency, though, is far from over, and taking control of Donetsk could involve a major battle, street fighting, the kind of thing that can give an advantage to rebels over government troops. Olga Bielkova is a member of parliament with the Ukrainian Democratic Alliance for Freedom. She's with us from Kiev to talk about all this. Olga, welcome back to Here and Now.
Hello.
Well, explain how this is happening. The Ukrainian army had been losing its battles with these pro-Russian rebels. Why are they winning them now, or how are they winning them now?
Well, I wouldn't say we were losing our battles. I would say we were too careful. And that's very natural for a nation which hasn't been at war for many, many years. Our newly elected president, Mr. Poroshenko, offered one-way ceasefire. I believe it was 20th of June, hoping that this will contribute to peaceful negotiations between Ukraine, Russia, US, and other partners. However, we witnessed that there were no interest on the side of separatists to have peace and some kind of peaceful resolution in that region. And Mr. Poroshenko had no way but to reactivate this operation and send more troops, which were more, you know, better prepared. They started their attacks with a very detailed attention, but still they were trying to save civilians. Unlike separatists, they didn't have live, groups of people in front of them. So they were just careful, trying to save lives.
But they must have gotten a lot of help from the U.S. and NATO to have such a dramatic turnaround.
I don't think that the help was in the means of army or soldiers, no. But strategic advices and getting some of the bulletproof jackets and other humanitarian, you know, support was very important for us. But I just think Ukrainian army finally regrouped, found a way how to attack separatists. And just over the last 2 or 3 days, we witnessed how, separatists decided to free some of the cities and they moved to Donetsk.
Well, and it appears that that is where the battle is headed at this point. Donetsk, by the way, has a population of 1 million. Is your country and its armed forces ready to take back Donetsk?
Yes, I think they are ready. I think, once again, they are very careful about civilians. But I think as people in that region will finally understand that separatists are not bringing peace and they are only bringing chaos and death, they will start supporting Ukrainian army in a more proactive way. And I do hope that U.S. and EU will help us by finally imposing some serious sanctions against Russia. Because we are, you know, very unhappy hearing that Mr. Putin is worrying about peace in Ukraine. However, there was no interview, there was no speech where he would tell separatists to stop shooting people. We only hear criticism over what Poroshenko and Yatsenyuk and parliament is doing.
Well, and how are you going to win back the hearts and minds of the people if you do take back these cities militarily? How do you win back the hearts and minds of people who, just this morning I was hearing somebody on the other side of this fight, describe the government of Ukraine as a group of Nazis?
Well, you can call me, anybody, but I know that I only want peace for these people. I want them to be away from any fire, their kids to be in schools, and that's all I want. I'm not going, me or my government or coalition is not going to impose on anybody in the East, in the West, any weird rules. But we do want to see our country united. We don't want to see what has happened in Crimea, the annexing of Crimea under the slogans of saving Russians or, you know, some weird declarations. Now we see that as of yesterday, Rafat Chubarov, who is one of the leaders of Tatars, was denied access to his home, to Crimea, for 5 years. This is the way Nazis are ruling their land. They don't let citizens to come back to their homes.
Do you expect the Ukrainian government will try to take back Crimea?
This is not up to Ukrainian government. This is up to Ukrainian people. And I'm sure one day we will witness as Crimea becomes free of self-declared government and will become part of Ukraine once again.
Olga, what would your message be to people in the United States? Is there something that Ukraine would like the U.S. to be doing that it's not doing right now?
Well, first of all, we are very happy to have such a strong partner. At the same time, I want to stress that Ukraine may seem to be very far away from U.S. And I know you have your own internal issues you have to fight. But sometimes you have to be more attentive to the needs of such countries. I do think that Ukraine is very different from many other countries where we constantly see protests and different war escalations. Here we are in the middle of Europe, and I submit to you that what is happening between us and Russia right now is a threat to the whole Europe. And Russia is just testing grounds of what it could do with other countries in Europe. So I do hope that U.S. politicians and U.S. people will continue to be interested in the issues in Ukraine, and you will not only offer the words of condemnation, but also strong sanctions against those who are killing, basically, people in Ukraine.
That's Olga Bielkova, a member of the parliament in Ukraine with the Ukrainian Democratic Alliance for Freedom, joining us from Kiev. Olga, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.